Would you mind breaking down for me the elements of pop culture?
That's a good question. Okay. The brain is set up so that it catches patterns. It's a pattern recognition machine. And the brain, you know, we were talking about how in order to run a society, in order to run a collective and nimble group mind, you need to have the right combination of competition and of collaboration. And wait a minute, I'm losing my train of thought here, John.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
happens to me all the time. About pop culture. The brain works that way because it won't enjoy something unless it recognizes a familiar pattern.
Okay.
On the other hand, that's similar to having lots of coordination. On the other hand, it gets bored if all it sees is a pattern that it recognizes. So to catch on as pop culture, you have to repeat a pattern that people recognize, but you have to have a little flip in it that's new, a little flip in it that tantalizes people, a little flip in it of the unexpected, a little flip in it of surprise. In music, we call that little flip the hook. Without a hook, a song won't go over. If a song is simply recognized as too much of what you've already had in the past, it's not going to become a hit. So pop culture is a combination of the familiar with surprise.
So this is like the same old song with a few new lines.
That's right. You got it.
Okay.
Okay, now what in the world does this have to do with whether pop culture is dumbing down society? Well, the person I was talking with the other day was trying to blame everything on rap. You know, the reason that we're so dumb these days is because of rap music. And, okay, I was back in the days when I was involved in the music business, when I ran the biggest public relations firm in the music industry, I was asked in 1981 to get involved with a brand new form of music. And music is the badge of a subculture. There was a subculture crying out for an identity in this music, and I thought that subculture had a right to be. So I signed on even though I didn't necessarily care for the kind of music. And that music in 1981 was the stuff that everybody in the music industry told me was going to destroy my career utterly. They said it is absolute garbage, and in 6 months it's going to be all over, and you'll be left with garbage all over your face. And that form of music was rap music. Well, that was 1981, and now it's 2007, and that music that was supposed to disappear in the first 6 months is still around today. And it's not my favorite music, it's rap. And it's not my favorite music, but the fact is it's held in there for some reason. And why? I've been trying to analyze that today, because a couple of things have happened since 1981. In 1988, up until 1981, rap had really constructive lyrics that were trying to make a social contribution. And then in 1988, somebody gave me an album and said, would you please work with this artist? And I read the lyrics, and John, they horrified me. They were all about shooting people.
Yep.
And I said I would work with it only if I could sit down with the artist and get him to rewrite his lyrics. Within 2 to 3 years, that form of music, known as gangster rap, became the dominant form of rap, of rap music. And you would think that with songs, the top 5 songs on the rap charts this week, all feature guns. Every single one of them features guns. So you'd figure the amount of violence in American society would go skyrocketing. The fact is, it's just the opposite. In 1993, just as gangster rap began to kick in, America began a decline in violence among young people. The decline was especially sharp in homicides, in robberies, and in rapes. And you would think that rapes and homicides, murders, would be precisely what went up under the influence of those lyrics. No, it went down. Plus, did we get dumber? No, the fact is that for the last 50 years, we've been ruled by something called the Flynn effect. IQ has gone up decade after decade after decade for 50 years straight. And rap is now a universal form of music. It's in Somalia, it's in the Sudan, it's in Kenya, it's in Asia, it's in Japan, it's all over the place. So obviously there's something a little counterintuitive, a little bit unexpected about the influence of music, pop culture, like rap, on the human brain. Why? Because to have a successful pop song, whether it's Kanye West or whether it's Traffic in the old days, in the days of rock and roll, you have to have that element of familiarity, and you constantly have to challenge the brain with something unexpected, with a hook. And what you're doing is challenging the brain to step out of its old perceptual boundaries and come to perceive things in a broader way. than ever before, in a broader way than any generation has ever had to perceive before. You're constantly upping the group IQ and the individual IQ, and that's borne out in the Flynn effect.